Here we go. Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of this meeting. And then if you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a pretty lengthy meeting today on our agenda, so those of you who wish to testify, we will limit your speaking to 3 minutes, and any subsequent speakers, if you would like to testify as well, you're welcome to. Please just don't repeat what a previous speaker has mentioned. Come up with some new material for us, okay? We'd appreciate that. We're going to move on now to item number 3. This is discussion on possible action. This is approval of the agenda for this date, December the 4th, 2018. Is there a public comment regarding today's agenda item? Ms. Bart?
We don't have that yet, Nicole. It'll be part of, you know, passing for the next meeting. And I stood here and I said, are you sure? Because systems need to be able to review these materials prior to the agenda in order to determine if we have questions, what questions to ask. And I was assured that it would come out in time to be reviewed. Back it comes out, no cooperative agreement, and no agreement on reimbursement. I sent Vanessa an email yesterday at 3 saying, is it in the packet and is not recognizing it by its name? Or are there other documents? In fact, there are other documents. So this morning, however, she printed them out for me. So the cooperative agreement, which is a key portion of the resolution, was not part of the packet for me or anyone else to be able to review prior. Neither was the reimbursement agreement, which is key to that particular resolution. As I'm scanning the cooperative agreement, I have questions, but I can't formulate them because I don't have the time to be able to formulate them. So I don't know how you can go forth with a vote on two items that excluded from public view and public scrutiny two key documents that are relevant. So my comment is that my request is you push that vote out on those two resolutions that these documents are pertinent to until the public has the opportunity to read and examine the actual agreements that bind the county to this.
We don't applaud and we don't boo and hiss in this room during the meeting. Okay, thank you. Who wants to weigh in on this?
The requirement under the open meeting law is that the items that are going to be reviewed by the Board of County Commissioners be submitted or be available to the public at the same time they're available to the Board of County Commissioners. Now, there was an issue that came up earlier in that apparently the clerk's office had not received the reimbursement agreement or the cooperative agreement until this morning, and they have now provided them. And so you are going to have the documents at the same time as the public, which is going to comply with the requirements of the open meeting law. Whether it's a good idea to proceed at this point is a policy issue for the board. I've discussed the cooperative agreement with Mr. Henry, who is from the the bond council firm, and his indication is that the approval of the cooperative agreement is not required at this point in order to proceed with the TIA, if that is the choice of the board. And perhaps I could ask Mr. Henry to weigh in on the issue of the cooperative agreement also, or the reimbursement agreement.
I need you to come up to the podium, sir. Okay. Identify yourself for the record from there. That way we can get all on the case. Thank you.
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman Howard, Bond Council, Michigan County. The creation ordinance itself will give us three things. It creates the tax increment area, orders the undertaking, and creates the tax increment account. From my perspective, the reimbursement agreement and the cooperative agreement are separate and apart from the creation ordinance. They all go hand in hand, but they aren't dependent upon each other. And so with that said, my position would be that the county could move forward with adopting the creation ordinance, and that would not be dependent upon adopting the resolution to approve that reimbursement agreement or cooperative agreement. And you know, as Keith mentioned, the reimbursement agreement and cooperative agreement, they're referenced in the two agenda items today. The resolutions will be on file. And as mentioned, they were given to the public at the same time they were given to the board. And so, because they're referenced as on file, I concur with you that it's a policy decision whether we go forward with the resolutions that approve the agreement. Yeah.
Well, we have an issue here, Pat. So, this time of the essence, is this to go forward?
Not with these two documents.
Not those two,
because,
no. Yeah.
Because this is a legitimate argument that people haven't had time to review this.
And there are still some minor issues on one of those two documents we're working on anyway with TRI, right?
Yes.
So as long as council agrees, I'd recommend we continue those items. Okay. We'll either call for a special meeting or...
Right. Okay, when we get to those items... Let's go ahead and talk about that.
Okay.
Thank you, Nicole. All right. We'll continue on with public comment.
Yeah.
Hearing none, I get a motion to approve the agenda. I'm sorry. Come on up, please. I didn't see you back there. I'm sorry.
I'm going to try to talk loud because I know I couldn't back there.
If you speak right to the microphone there, you should be fine.
Okay. Stephanie Furlock, Story County resident. From what I've seen, it's going to, in one way or another, this pipeline is going to affect everyone here. Taxes in some way are going to go up. And us reinforcing the tax money that would have gone into the general fund for all of us to help this county, I don't think it's right. I don't know a lot about all these presentations, but I know you can manipulate the numbers any way you want, and it's not fair. My husband and I have been living here for 11, 12 years. We're both driving 12-year-old vehicles, and we can't afford to repair them, and I don't see how anybody else in this county is going to be able to live here and be able to pay the increase in taxes, which eventually are going to happen because of this. And all we're doing is paying them back money.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're not on that item yet. We're on today's agenda.
I'm sorry, so. I thought that there was only one time I could make a comment.
You can actually speak on every agendized item that comes up. But okay. We're just talking about the agenda as a whole.
All right. Sorry.
Okay? You bet. Thank you. Okay, I'll continue on here with any additional comments on today's agenda. Okay, hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for December 4th, 2018.
Second.
We're moving to second to approve the agenda for today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving on now to item number 4, discussion and possible action. This is the approval of the minutes for October the 29th, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for October 29th, 2018.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for October 29th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is today's consent agenda. Is there a public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room now with Sheriff Antonoro. Thank you, Jerry. Moving on to our waterline project manager, Mike Devin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Mike Devin. A little update on the 5 mile water transmission line project. I'm happy to report that as of late last Wednesday afternoon, we started to flow water through the pipeline. Everything went well. Tie-ins went probably better than expected, considering what we ran into at the 5 mile tank, which is below the reservoir. That whole assembly had to be reconstructed from several areas of crushed pipe in that area that had been welded together and probably had restricted flow into Virginia City quite substantially. We figure it probably happened back in the 1970s when fire came up through that area from the general grade area. The pipe probably got crushed by bulldozers or heavy equipment back then. Of course, back then, the state of Nevada was responsible for that part of the line because the meter's a little bit east of that. But nevertheless, we got that all cleaned up, tied in, like I say, water flowing. So that's a good thing. We're probably about 90% complete. There's some backfill areas that have to be completed. The tie-in to the Comstock line tank needs to be completed. We were waiting until we got the new line together before we start messing around with their tank up on the upper end, just a little overgrade there. Fencing, a little bit of delay on the contractor's part there. It looks like that probably won't happen until sometime middle of next month. And that's to put some new fencing around the tank out there at the reservoir. Much of the fence on the north side had to be removed in order to accommodate the project. Their backlog, everybody's busy. It seems like it doesn't matter the time of year. So we put in just under 3 miles of pipe, 2.7 miles. Like I say, things went well. The other thing that still needs to be addressed, and we're working through the process, is the reseeding of an area from the reservoir to the top of what I call a sheet cross at overgrade. And that's where we have to parallel the existing line across country, if you will, with a new road access, and it's our hopes that the Bureau of Land Management will not require us to reseed that area, and then Public Works can maintain that for access along the new pipeline. Is there a couple of drain areas there and some ARBs, which are automated air release systems, so that'll give them, but we're waiting for them to make an appointment with us so we can do an on-site with the Bureau, their realty specialist, and a couple of folks that they recommended meet with us. So we're waiting for that meeting to occur, and then we'll know more at that point. So things going well. I mean, the project actually is ahead of schedule substantially. So good sign.
Great. Nice improvement. Okay. Any questions for Mike?
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mike. All right. Next up, the general manager for the B&T Railroad, Lane Spencer.
Good morning, Commissioners. Commissioners, good morning. It's been a while since I've been here to give you an update. We ended the 2018 season above last year, so I'm very proud of that and the changes and accomplishments of the staff and our board of directors. We kicked off Bowlers for us this year. We've had great crowds, great turnouts. We're a little bit behind last year, but we've added days Christmas week to make that up. So I do expect to at least meet or beat last year's numbers with the Polar Express. If you haven't been out there, it'd be great to have you come out and check it out. Marshall and his wife rode the Polar Express on our rehearsal night. And then Jack, of course, came out as well. Love to get you out there, Lance, and Pat, and the rest of the staff, and officials in Story County, just to see what's going on out there. Not during the Polar Express, during the steam season. Everything, we've got some big plans for next year, and those will roll out, we're expecting in March. So we'll be back to report year-end figures to you all, sometime in January, and then back again in March with our new plans for the year. I would like to present Jack McGuffey with a plaque. Stan, could you bring that up? So, Jack, this will be his last meeting in November, since we are not having, or in October, since we did not have any November meeting. So, Jack, if I could have come up here. Yes. Okay, so Jack McGuffey, DNC Railway Commissioner, from January of 2015 to December of 2018, the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the DNC Railway recognizes you and your many years of service on the DNC Railway Commission. We thank you for your time and your commitment to the success of the DNC Railway.
As many of you might know, Story County passed its first assembly bill ever, our first try, and it went through with fine colors, with very little opposition, if any. And the governor signed it, and had the team there during the signing, and he gave out three pins. I got one of the pins. So I went and had a picture, which is autographed by the Governor Sandoval, framed with pins, and Elaine, the manager for the DNC Railways, is creating starting a museum of sorts, and I thought this would be a great addition to the museum. So here we go.
Hey, can I
get
back to...
Sorry.
Yeah. Let me between Jack. Okay. Jack, I
thank you, Elaine. And if anyone hasn't had the opportunity to ride the Polar Express, it's very festive. It's a great show that they do there. They have a lot of great little actors that perform for the the entire trip. So you get an opportunity, you should go do it. It's a lot of fun.
Elaine? Do they sell the video, Polar Express video, at the railway station?
We're sold out.
Oh, okay, but you do. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Next up, the director of the Virginia City Tourism, Kenny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, just two quick updates. First of all, I just want to say what a closeout to the end of the event season for 2018. I couldn't be more proud of the merchants, the residents, and the departments that decorated their offices, their storefronts, their homes. It was a great way to start off Christmas on the Comstock and celebrate that this month. So my hat's off at the work we do. Is sometimes I'm not always appreciated, but to see the town react like it does for Christmas was awesome. So with that, the official close, we're certainly working on 2019. We'll announce that calendar, full calendar in January. I'm excited to say there are some new additions, quite a few changes, including mining, cowboys, and some more cars with a little spin on Christmas next year. So we'll have full details in January. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Jenny?
Thank you. And right. I noticed that the Snowman Army grew this year, it looks like, there at the north end of town.
It did. It
looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny. All right, Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbeski. Okay. Operations and Project Manager, Mike Martin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Martin for the Record, Operations Project Coordinator, reporting for Public Works. Just a couple quick things. The Black and Hell building at the corner of Taylor and C's, all of the unstable portions of that structure have been abated. All the debris has been cleared off the site. The area has been fenced, and we are working to get some signage up there to go out there. We're also working with the adjacent property owner to help him remove some graffiti that was discovered inside his building once we pulled down the portions of the Black and Hell. So we're working to do that. Item two is just been keeping up with recent storms. So far, the crews have been doing a great job and they're maintaining readiness for the upcoming storms. Last item is a personal note. I mean, we've had several precipitation events already this winter, and I'm pleased to report not a single reported in for that single load.
Yeah, you know that the owner there next to the property, he's called College Construction, looking for somebody to help kind of seal his basement.
While we've got the area stable on us, we've got all that walls removed, all the debris removed. We're going to be working with him to give him a window to do some maintenance.
Okay. Okay.
It's an unusual opportunity because that's a zero lot line.
That's right.
So since it's open, we're going to hold on to it.
Okay. I'm just glad you're aware of that.
Yeah. Any
others? Great. Thanks, Mike. Good. Over community development, Peter Renaud.
Good morning. For the record, Peter Renaud, community development. As you all know, we've been doing the staff board report for about 5 months now. And I just wanted to highlight some numbers up to this point since July. Construction documents that we've reviewed, 154. That's 154 different projects. Permits issued, 230. Business licenses, 99. That's a 5 month period. Annual inspections, fired, 236 inspections. I believe Patty Lakely will probably be through all of them by the end of the year. Inspections, construction inspections, building, 1,087. You can see we've been pretty busy. Some highlights in the department, Joe Starnes, has completed a year in the department, and he's also attended the fire inspection principles at the National Fire Academy. He's completed that course. Some probably the public's going to be happy about is AT&T is putting equipment in at the Vista Tower right now. They couldn't give me a final date. I just visited yesterday, so I'm sure that's going to make a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
And I believe Mike could help me on this one. They're putting a tower out there on USA Parkway.
Right.
So there's a dead zone in that area right there at the summit. So that's all I've got. Any questions?
So the one out at the USA Parkway, that's the one we gave the special use permit for, right? Correct.
I believe so. Yeah. And then the property was given to the county for that area. Right.
Okay.
There.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Pete. Right over our planning department, Kathy Kenfield.
I'm not here today.
Okay. Okay. Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioner. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a few quick things. Just about a month ago, we all know the devastation that happened in Northern California, the community of Paradise. We were fortunate enough to get a phone call to ask us for assistance to send a brush truck over there, which we did. From this region, we were able to send 3 strike teams of fire trucks, 15 engines, with all the personnel over there. They spent about 10 days over there assisting with the suppression of that fire and helping those residents and victims of that fire as well. So, just wanted to let the community know that we did help with that. And, it was an eye-opening experience for our firefighters as well to see that type of devastation that happened over there. So, quite eye-opening. We are opening our burn season for the Mark Twain and Rock area starting Monday, the 10th. I've been waiting a long time for the precipitation to come to aid us with that. So, now that we've had a few storms, we'll open that up for residents to burn. Our fuel project has started. Again, this season out on the summit in Bailey's Canyon area, they are removing dead and down fuel. And I believe probably right now they're burning some piles to get rid of that slash. Over the last month, we promoted 2 captains. Due to vacancies, Jason Phelps and Nick Ravel, both longtime employees members of the community. So, congratulations to them. And with that, we hired 2 additional firemen, 1 paramedic and 1 advanced EMT, Jason Smith and Greg Meyer. We're pretty excited about that. Get some new fresh blood on board, and they're going through their training. And then finally, we are sending 1 of our current EMTs to paramedic training with RIMSA starting tomorrow. So we're adding another tool to our toolbox. That's all I have. If you have any questions.
Okay, thank you, the Chief. So, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Director of Planning and Human Resources, Austin Huntley. All righty. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
No, thank you. At this time, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Skip over. Yeah. Over Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Nothing to say, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Sherry. Special Counsel, Robert Morse.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Bob. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Back on June 5th, the board held a meeting at which an individual by the name of Tom Brown had presented some information during the course of the public comment hearing. She had, subsequent to that meeting, Ms. Brown filed an open meeting law complaint with the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office has now responded and found that there was no violation of the open meeting law complaint by the way that the things occurred in the course of that meeting. The AG's office stated that a member of the public may have included in the minutes their verbal comments, or if they have written comments and asked to have the written comments included in the minutes. those can also be included, but extraneous material does not need to be included in the minutes of the meeting. That's, that was the resolution of the meeting on the board.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
A couple of quick things, Mr. Chairman. With continuing several items today, we anticipate the possibility and probability, actually, of a meeting on December 18th to catch back up and keep on track. I think we'll advertise it as a special meeting because we'd already announced that we weren't going to have one. So we'll go through as an abundance of caution with proper notifications. Just so everybody's on schedule then going into the new year, we will be, we were required by statute to meet on the first Monday of the new year after a general election. So that'll be January 7th, where the newly elected and reelected will take their oaths of office. We'll also do committee assignments on that date. And then we'll be back on regular schedule for the third Tuesday of the month, which is January 15th. And then just a final reminder, the county Christmas party is this Friday from 5 p.m. to 10 with heavy appetizers. So come on.
At the Opera House?
At the Opera House, thank you.
At the Opera House? Yeah. Live entertainment to follow? Yeah. Okay. And from our county clerk's office, Sarah?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. All right, that concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action in public comment. I'll start at the far end of the table with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All righty. Vice Chairman McGuffey?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. And I'm going to take a pass myself, so we'll move right along here to item number 8, this is discussion of possible action to approve resolution 18-520 honoring Mark Osberg and Carol Maylee with the Virginia City RV Park as the 2018 Story County Business of the Year. Denny, take it away.
Knowing and appreciating what it takes to start and run a business here in today's competitive climate, Story County likes to acknowledge and award a business or an organization that has shown significant achievements here and contributions to the local economy. We, the selection committee, made up of Commissioner Input, County Manager, DCPC, and all department heads here in Story County. Some of the criteria that we look at when we look for selecting a recipient would be leadership, entrepreneurship, product and market innovation, significant business achievement, excellence in community relations, customer service and reliability, high standard of employee relations, successfully fulfilling a marketplace need. But honestly, when you think about it, what's the most important thing? The most important thing is what do our visitors think? I took it upon myself to pull off of the TripAdvisor a couple of comments. Best RV park in Nevada. We stayed in every park in Nevada and couldn't be happier with the experience. The owners are wonderful. Again, the new owners are beyond hospitable. They have really made it a great place to stay. I highly recommend it. Very excellent stay at Virginia City RV Park. Very friendly owners who took the time to educate us on all things Virginia City. Very easy to get in and out of. My 37-foot motor home. New owners are amazing. Super clean, everything beautiful. The owners are working very hard to restore this beautiful place to its original glory. We love it and Virginia City. Now, I guess I capped out of the bag. So with that, let's say I have an RV park in Virginia City. I'd like to award Mark Osmer and Carol Maylee with the Virginia City RV Park and Cemetery Cafe as the 2018 Story County Business of the Year. All right.
Resolution 2?
pass that. Resolution 18520, resolution honoring Mark Osmond and Carol Kelly with the Virginia City RV Park as the 2018 Story County Business of the Year, whereas this award will be given to Story County Business or organization that has shown significant contributions towards the economic stability of Story County, whereas Mark Osmer and Carol Kelly with the Virginia City RV Park have shown extraordinary entrepreneurship, park innovation, strong community relations, and contributions towards fulfilling a needed service in Virginia City. Therefore, let it be known to all those present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Mark Osmer and Carol Neely with the Virginia City RV Park for their continued and exemplary service to people of Story County.
There you go.
Thank you. Place looks great.
You guys have done a great job, Mark. Terrific. Thank you. Bet all your hard work.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Great job. Thank you. Thank you.
You have anything else? Okay, great. Thank you, Danny. Terrific job with Saturday Night's Parade. It was very festive. It was great. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Before I ask for a motion to approve, is there a public comment on this resolution? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve a resolution number 18-520 honoring Mark Osmer and Carol Maley with the Virginia City RV Park at the 2018 Story County Business of the Year.
Great.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Right. Once
well
again,
deserved.
Yes, it is. Thank both of you. All right. Ready?
Yes, I think Commissioner Gilman has a disagreement.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman. I hold up the culinary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, which is the subject matter of items 9, 10, 11, and 12. And therefore, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting on these four items. I'll join the audience.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, to guide us through the next four, item 9 will be presented by Ryan Henry with Sherman Howard. Staff with hopefully two legal counsels and a financial advisor and a number of others in the room are going to recommend that we continue items 10, 11, and 12 as we previously discussed and continue those to 10 a.m. on December 18th here at the department.
Okay. So item number 9 is for discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action on a second reading of ordinance number 18-299, creating the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes Chapter 278C, considering all complaints, protests, objections, and comments to the area and the undertaking, ordering an undertaking relating to the tax increment area, creating the tax increment account for the undertaking, and ratifying action taken by county officers towards the undertaking and the tax increment area. Okay. So, Mr. Henry?
For the record, Ryan Henry from Sherman Howard. As just mentioned, this next item is second reading of ordinance 18-299, creating the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area. It considers all complaints, protests, objections, and comments to the area and undertaking. It also orders an undertaking relating to the tax increment area and creates the tax increment account for the undertaking and ratifies the action previously taken by county officers towards the undertaking and the tax increment area. In the crowd, as mentioned, we have the county municipal advisor. I'm here as well. We have others. If there's questions by the public or the board, we can address.
Okay. Thank you. No problem. Do you want to follow up on anything, Pat, before we go to public comment?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, legal counsel's ready to go, too?
Yep.
All right. So this is the second reading of this, so we're going to open this up for public comment. And whoever's ready, come on up. Try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you go over a little bit, that's okay too. Welcome back. Quite all right. Take your time.
Sorry. 30 county resident for 11 years. I want you to know that there are people that are concerned about this. The regular people, we can't afford to have this on the back of the Surrey County taxpayers. I know supposedly in the long run it's going to help a lot of people, but it's going to hurt the Surrey County right now. It's going to hurt the taxpayers. I can't afford an increase in taxes. My husband can't. We've been driving the same vehicles for 12 years. Other people must not know about what's going on, or they don't understand it, or a little of all the above and being uninformed. I don't care what that presentation said last month. You can manipulate numbers any way you want. Just because they're not going to have a bond issue to worry about, thank God for that, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have to end up paying for this. We're all eventually going to have to pay something on this. Our house tax may go up. I don't know. Everything. My mom couldn't live up here anymore because her water bill went from $50 a month to $150 because supposedly USDA was paying for that. It's not. The people that live here are paying for it. People on fixed incomes. And I think we should take a moment and step back and reconsider voting on this right now. And let the people have a chance to read all the paperwork and look over it and not do it. And that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. I'll weigh in on this. Okay. Stephanie, thank you for your comments. I wish that more people had turned out for these meetings on the early, you know, in the infancy of this, and they'd be a little bit better informed than they are today. There's been a lot of misinformation that's been put out to the public during the campaign trail this year. And one of the things is that this tax increment area, if we vote and approve on this, isn't going to be on the back of Story County taxpayers that are in this room right now, unless there's any of the major companies that are going to pay for it. What's going to happen is the major companies are going to, the developer of the TRI, basically Roger Norman is going to pay to have this pipeline built from this Reno Sparks treatment plant out to the industrial park. He's going to pay for it. And then the major players out there, the Googles and the Teslas and the Switches, those guys, they're going to pay Roger Norman back for all the infrastructure that's being done. And then once they start building this out, then the taxes that those major companies, their increased taxes, not the taxes they're currently paying, but their increased taxes from that day forward, then they will be reimbursed the amount of money they paid to have the infrastructure put in place, the pipeline. It's not going to fall on the taxpayers of the residents of Story County. That's not the way it's designed, and it never has been designed that way. So I hope that we can alleviate some of the angst that you have out there, thinking that we're going to raise your property taxes. Story County hasn't raised property taxes in over 10 years, and there's just no plan. There's no plan in the future to do it. I mean, things would have to become desperate, like maybe they were in the recession, in order to do that. But this pipeline, the expenses are going to be borne by the developer and those people who are building commercial units in the industrial park. So with that said, we'll go ahead and take more public comment from the audience, and we'll try to help you out along, you know, if there's any misrepresentation out there that you don't quite understand. So
I wanted to add that, you know, this is an investment in the county for another tax base, and that tax base is paid by those people using this water system. So that also helps keep us from raising taxes, so because we'll have a little more diversified tax base.
Okay, who's next? Judy, come on up, please.
Judy Collins, Story County resident, Story County property owner, Story County business worker. I think that it's the obligation of every adult to ensure for future generations what was handed to them and continues. I've been here almost 20 years. When I came here, I heard about TRI, I heard about the $40+ million. That was supposed to come back into Story County Tax General Fund. And in almost 20 years, when I look at the financial statements of the county, I don't see it going down. I understand perfectly what Marsha was saying. But the thing is, it doesn't go into the general fund. It goes back to the people. It goes back. There's from this place forward. So, property tax. I'll be honest with you, Marshall. Maybe I'm in a different tax category than you are, but the property tax for my building and my housing investment, they've gone up. I'm looking before I came here. It has gone up in the last 10 years. Number two, there was a misconception about the water. Okay, we're paying for that. If we had additional taxes, would we, the people of Virginia City residents in Bolt Hill and all the major improvements? My water bill went up from $64 a month to average just $150. And it's sewer and water. Not so much the water. But if these are services, as they spread over 100 years with all the increments, it would pay for itself. It would be taken out every single month. So that's what I ask myself. It's going to be the same story. Instead of $40 million, so I'm asking you to reconsider and really look at this because you're saying the basis is going to be the same. We won't touch that. I'm not against the pipeline. I'm for all business. But how does it really affect us? And the future generation. I don't think there's anyone in here that in 40 years we're going to be around.
Okay, Judy, let me answer some of your questions. We've turned this kind of like into a town hall session today because you've thrown a lot of questions out there. The water and sewer in Virginia City are paid simply by the ratepayers who are in their water and sewer. So if we have to build a new sewer treatment plant, put in a new water line, we borrow the money from the USDA. They give us some, but they loan us money. We have to pay that money back. So money doesn't come out of the general fund. Only the users of water and sewer in Gold Hill and Virginia City pay for it. Nobody else does. Okay? When we're talking about the pipeline of the industrial park, this base doesn't stay on forever. What happens is, the analysis that's been done on this is that's going to be paid off in 9 years. Okay? So that pipeline would be paid for in 9 years. And so the taxes that are going to pay off that water line in the next 9 years, once the water line is paid off, then those taxes will come right back in to the Story County Treasury and we disperse just like everything else is for general and for the fire department and for those items like that. Okay, when it comes back to your property taxes, your tax rate has not gone up. Your taxes probably have gone up, and for most people, they would say that's a good thing because that means the value of your property has gone up. During the recession, nobody complained about their taxes going down because the value of their property went down. Now that we're in recovery, property values are coming back up again. Therefore, we all are paying more taxes, but the tax rate itself has not changed in over 10 years.
The tax rate. I still ask you, please look at the truth of tax.
Well, what we're trying to, I mean, that's what our job is. That's what, you know, what the you taxpayers pay us to do, is to look out for the benefit of the whole county.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Certainly. You do it.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Okay. Who's next? Ms. Bart.
I'd like to reiterate what I've been saying for months and months. This is our welfare. This is money being given
out of our taxes $2 billion corporations who, for the most part, have already received corporate welfare in the form of incentives and abatements. I think that most of us as residents realize that those incentives and abatements and favorable treatment by the county in particular were key to bringing those companies into TRI. So that we're not stupid. We understand that that is how business is done. So if you didn't hear us objecting to the abatements at top of the size and the enormous and the Tesla, that's done. So abatements and incentives to bring companies here to create jobs and to create revenue is understood, I believe. But the second step of continuing to give public money for something that is a private developer expense is an outrage. The money, I'm the one that is on the campaign trail, and I never said that these were taxes coming off the backs of our residents. What I said was the truth, and what you just said, Marshall. And that is, it is a diversion of taxes from coming into the general fund to go back to these companies to reimburse them for something that only they will benefit from and that they will use. And so that's corporate welfare. These corporations have the money to pay for it. We are not a rich county yet. And the projection that this is going to be paid off in 9 years is interesting to me, because if we look at the first set of projections that we got in the summer and we look at the second set of projections that we got last month, they're vastly different, and by a magnitude of 40% off. And so I would really hope to live 9 years to see that this is going to be paid off in 9 years, because the projections are hyperbole at this point. And so, again, I ask you, please do not divert taxes out of TRI from our general fund, which is our tax money as citizens of this county, in order to give corporate welfare to corporations that really don't need it. And if they do, then they have bigger problems, because it's, as we would say in marketing, mousemats compared to what they spend on a daily basis.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. As in many of these meetings dealing with the Sequoia pipeline, Ms. Bart has given this same testimony time and time again, which has been very good. The one thing that we keep coming back to, though, is that the abatements that are in place are not devised by Story County. They're devised by the governor and the governor's Office of Economic Development, and they get along with their team, and they're the ones who determine on what type of tax abatements that companies like Tesla and Switch and others will receive. Some get small abatements, some get extremely large ones, like Tesla received. Good enough. It's a tool for economic development. Some people are short-sighted. It was only a few years ago where we had the highest unemployment rate in the nation, in Nevada, over 14%. We had tens of thousands of vacant houses, and foreclosures, and abandoned properties, and now that Story County has done its part of being a participant in the economic development of Western Nevada, there's been a rejuvenation. And so now we hear complaints about too much traffic in Reno and the housing, the rents are up and the house prices are too expensive. But it was just a few years ago during the recession that people were starving for jobs, and now that they're there, they're saying that we're growing too fast. Well, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. I mean, that's an adage from many years ago. This is a tool put in place by the legislature for this tax increment area. We actually had to appear before their interim finance committee to get approval to do this. The majority overwhelmingly voted in favor. I think they had four or five objections from our legislators that weren't in favor of this. But it's a tool. I mean, they've come to us. They've asked us to put this in place. And you know, we're not going to get the taxes for a few more years, but what's more important right now, to have more jobs right now or to have more tax dollars right now? And the thing is, if we don't do the affluent pipeline, if we don't do it, and this is the argument that's been given to us, is that these buildings, these companies may not build out. So that tax revenue that we would see in 9 years, it won't be here. There might not be any more tax revenue than we're collecting off those properties as is in the industrial park right now. So here's the potential for growth for, as the Commissioner McGuffey pointed out, another diversified tax base coming out of the industrial park in 9 years. That's kind of the near future when you're looking at development. Okay, who's next?
May I add something to that?
Sure. Come on up, and while you're on your way up here, County Manager Witten's going to speak here a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to point out something that I think sometimes we all overlook, and that is your mention of GOAD, the legislature, the governor's office, very important because the state is approximately a 50-50 partner in this. We're taking revenues that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise, modified business tax, some of their sales and use tax along with us. So let's remember that what we are doing with our taxpayer dollars, mine included, is leveraging, I think, a great partnership that the legislature put in effect in helping great companies like Switch, who at least is here, continue to build out their Citadel campus at a hopefully a much greater, much accelerated rate. It is a tool.
Okay, go right ahead. You'll identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mike Riley, Curry County resident. And bottom line, first, this argument is one of the basic arguments that been in the West forever, and that's water. Now, the use of affluent water is a damn good way. It's reducing the amount that's overall has to be felt. You had to take the water in the Truckee River, that's a problem. Because the Indians and some of the other ranchers and things like this, it's going to finish down. So the concept is good. The fact that Story County is a very small county with a relatively small tax base should be carrying the total fund for a large portion of it is wrong. My question is, has this ever been presented to the legislature? Because the jobs that are being created aren't from Story County. They're from Sparks, Reno, maybe out in Lyon County. Here's where the residents are coming from. And I think that the bottom line, why has our state representative gone to the legislature and said, what? Why can't the state start covering some of these expenses instead of just Story County? And I know that a lot of it is coming out of Sparks, I guess. And still, why not? Because it affects the entire community, all of the counties around here. Why can't they all chip in? My comment, and I think, again, affluent is a heck of a good way to spend your money, better than putting it on your golf courses.
So thank you. We're back in the river.
Thank you, Mr.
I would like to commend our commissioner who approved himself.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Joe Covey, you have your
hand. Scott Jelko, for the record, personally, I'm a Story County taxpayer. I pay in excess of $5,000 to $6,000 in property taxes alone in this county. I fully support this.
Thanks, Tom. Okay. Who's next?
Mr.
Carroll. Oh, Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McGuffey, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center project manager. A couple of the myths that have been thrown around are that these buildings and the build-outs would occur in the absence of the pipeline, or if the pipeline was put in and without this particular package of reimbursements, that the build-out would occur as it would otherwise occur. But this year, for instance. And it's just not true. 75,000 acres at TRI are owned today by tech companies. 75,000 acres. That's three times the size of San Francisco. Of those 75,000 acres, only about 1,000 acres or so have buildings on it, the Gigafactory and the Switch data storage building. Those are just the first two. So the vast majority, 98% of that land owned by tech companies has not been built out. This water in the pipeline will allow them to build that out, build it out with high-density facilities like data storage and tech manufacturing. And this kind of package is a great incentive for them to go ahead and build out on their land and build out soon. Economic development is a contact sport. I know this. We go up against other states, other counties all the time. Giving just a little bit now and then to incentivize companies that this is a great place to do business is a good thing. This particular package of reimbursements is not all the taxes these companies are paying to the state and county. It's only a portion of it. It's not all of the pipeline or the water distribution costs. It's not near a majority of those costs. As Mr. Chairman mentioned, we're paying up front on the cost of the entire pipeline. Not one penny is coming out of taxes paid by anybody other than these companies. In other words, they're paying their own way for this pipeline. All these companies, you know, are putting skin into this pipeline. We're putting skin into it. We're still getting bare 15% of the cost of this particular project. And let's talk about, you know, what it could bring. Today at TRI, Mr. Chairman, we have about 20,000 permanent and contract jobs. 20,000. 10,000 of those alone are at Tesla. Currently, for those 20,000 jobs, we're cycling through maybe 800 to 1,000 acre feet of water. And most of our buildings are low-density buildings, of course. But this water coming in this pipeline can really add to our job count and good-paying jobs. These are tech company jobs, not minimum wage jobs. These jobs are important. It may not be important to some folks who are relatively comfortable, but their jobs, I can tell you, are important to people in the River District, in Mark Twain, who now have access from 15 to 20 minutes away. The more jobs we bring into this county, the better for people in Story County that may be in need of a job, and certainly the whole region as a whole on the Highway 50 corridor. So for me, this package of reimbursements is a great incentive that to tell these companies, don't change your mind. Just because you bought the land here, you know, they don't have to build here just because they got plenty of choices. And they don't have to put their money here first. They can deploy their money in other locations around the world or around the United States. But this package is a great indicator. And I know these companies, because I've dealt with them throughout their negotiations, I know they view it that way. It's a great indicator that Story County is a great place to do business. It's a great place to invest. It's a great place to create jobs and create payroll, which gets spent all over the county. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Okay. Gentleman back there. Come on up. Sit. I recognize you with those
things. These
are the gappers. We're in a movie star from Hollywood.
Yeah.
I just crowd you guys with Don't Tell, Comstock Mining, Comstock Foundation for History and Culture. I just want to add, we're one of the larger landowners in Story County, and I think that the county has had vision, and I would say even more so, has had courage, you know, in terms of the investments that it's been making for where we are. But when you're at the point, we also have some new plan holdings in Silver Springs. And I was in a conversation with one of the former engineers in Trick, you know, about some of the property in Silver Springs. And there was a serious exploration by another tech company, Facebook, you know, to come in with a corporate campus. And no one was willing to assure the second phase of water. And they lost it. Now, I can't sit here and represent that. That was the only thing that mattered. That was the only thing that made a difference. But repeatedly, over and over again, what we see in mining is, you know, the failure to commit, the failure to deliver, and then you can just go look at Silver Springs and see what it looks like. And I'm saying that as an investor in Silver Springs. So I think the notion of the private partnerships, the notion of investing and giving the residents and the companies confidence that the county's behind them. And not everything works, by the way. Not everything's guaranteed. But I don't think those efforts even come close to the concept of welfare. I mean, I think, you know, there's returns, there's times on the returns. But the most important thing is we've created a paradigm where people want to come here and it's their first choice. And I think that's gonna keep giving for the next 20 years, and we're very, you know, we're proud to be part of that. I just wanted to make my comments known. Thank you.
Thanks, Corrado.
Thanks, Rob.
Cody. Who's next? Mr. Gallagher?
Well, he comes up, if I may, if I can find this. Let me read something that came across over the weekend. And it's skeptical because it references leaked documents. But this article was the first time I've ever heard anything. And I'm citing the article because I'm under a non-disclosure agreement with Tesla itself, but I'm picking on Tesla since they're not in the room. The title is "Leaked Documents Revealed That Tesla Had an Aggressive Production Ramp for Its Model Y." Now, the Model Y isn't even out yet. It's still in concept. But this article goes on to allude to the fact that Tesla's plans may have included building the Model Y at the Gigafactory on their property in Story County. Newsflash to me. But that is the type of return on investment that I think we're really dealing with here, is we are incenting major companies like Switch, Tesla, all the rest, to do stuff like is referenced in this particular.
Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I have remained fairly silent during this process, which is good, because in the beginning, I will tell you, I was very apprehensive about this. Maybe something happened to do with my being Irish, I'm not sure. As this project grew arms and legs, had a lung transplant, a couple of bypasses. We have had an experience that probably not very many people can attest to. There has been ups and downs. There has been a tremendous amount of dialogue, communication, analysis that has done in this project. Through all of this, we have gone through Governor's Office on Economic Development. We have gone over the Legislative Interim Finance Committee. And through all of this and all of the changes, this document, which you are, is presented to you today, represents what I consider financial independence. This is not only for us as stakeholders, but also for future stakeholders. Let us not forget that from 1998 to 2003, we were the bad boys of the Department of Taxation. We were on every single meeting of the Commission for Local Government Finance. Horsham County was thinking of annexing us, and the general fund in 2003 was about $250,000 in the hole. In order to provide for our residents, I think this is a very good project. Our future will be bright. Our industrial park will be strong. It will have the ability now to expand. And we're not the only ones that have ever given incentives. The incentives have been given forever. The Nevada State Legislature decided to do this quite a few years ago because in 2008, the unemployment rate was 6.7%. 2009 went to 11.3%. And 2010 went to 13.5%. The legislature and the governor gave the governor's office of economic development some tools to go ahead and try and benefit jobs in Nevada and get rid of the unemployment. Right now, the unemployment rate is about 4.4. Again, this is about our financial independence, as I see it, and I concur with staff findings.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Anyone else? Mr. Mitchell?
Sir.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Clay Mitchell, Story County resident. I just have a few thoughts that I'd like to share on this. The first one is I want to be clear that we separate the talk about the what and the how, because I feel like a lot of the proponents of this project create an argument that those who are concerned about the how it's being done are opposed to what is being done. And I think for the most part that's not true. I think almost everyone in the county supports the idea of using reclaimed water for further economic development. And so I just want to make sure that we're very clear about what the concerns are that are being expressed and that we don't dismiss those as being against the idea that's being proposed in the first place. Mr. Chairman, you made a comparison with the sewer project here in Virginia City. And as you pointed out, it was paid by the users, and yet there's no offer for reimbursement for the users here in this area from their taxes to help offset the cost of that payment. Now, I know residential is different than commercial. We don't necessarily generate the same amount of revenue for the county, but the sewer rates do affect the commercial businesses here as well. And so I don't think that's a very favorable comparison because it throws into contrast the difference between the way that our corporate citizens out in TRI are being treated versus the way that the rest of us are being treated here. Another word that you used several times is potential, and I think my biggest concern is a perception, whether supported by fact or not, that we continue to trade present benefits for residents and businesses in the county for future potential. And at some point, I think the hope is that balance shifts substantially to present benefits for those of us who are here. I think that there's tons of potential. And that's not to say that we shouldn't give any sort of, we shouldn't be open to working with corporate citizens. But at some point, the residents are looking and saying, when do we get part of this? When does this benefit the county as a whole and not those that are specifically involved in these issues? I'm also really concerned about a misperception that I have noticed by some of our larger corporate citizens. It seems that they see themselves primarily as part of the larger Reno-Sparks metropolitan area, much more so than they do as citizens of Story County. And I'm concerned that if they only come to us when they need something and we don't hold the line and really, really insist on getting the benefits in return, then that will continue and it will perpetuate the concern that I have about trading our present benefits for future potential. And those are my thoughts on that.
Okay. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you.
Okay. Is Breck standing up because she's going to speak? No? Oh, okay. Thanks for coming today. All right. Any more public comment?
Chairman, for the record, Sam told Gold Hill. Before I get started, you had mentioned earlier that Roger believe at the last meeting, I was correcting when I made that statement. It is true that TRI and not the other ones.
The TRI Center is on, is okay. Responsible.
I think it's synonymous, but
right. I did as well.
Okay.
I was correcting, so I figured I'd point that out. Mr. Thompson suggested that tech companies own 75,000 acres of the barren land that exists at TRI, and that they would potentially not build on that that barren land should we, the taxpayers, not invest in their businesses. It should be pointed out for clarity that Blockchains, which owns 67,000, according to printed reports, of those 75,000 acres, has chosen to opt out of being reimbursed by taxpayers, recognizing that they're capable of paying their own way for whatever expense is required. It's, I think, important, again, to point out that the companies who are asking us to be reimbursed by, to the tune of about $21 million of future tax revenue that will be based upon the increased value of their property are also going to invest between $120 and $150 million of their own money, which they do not expect to be reimbursed for, to process, store, and distribute the effluent water once our pipeline that we're going to invest in gets the water from Sparks to the industrial park. So to suggest that they don't have skin in the game is obviously incorrect. They have plenty of skin in the game. And yet, for some reason, we're being asked to put our skin into the game. As Mr. Mitchell suggested, at some point, the potential of what's going to happen out there it needs to be weighed with today's present concerns of the taxpayers. We have heard time and time again that Story County had no say at the table once when the big incentives were passed by GOED and the legislature in 2015 to bring Tesla here. That, of course, is not true based upon the testimony that's on the record at the Legislative Council Bureau. Story County was there, but the people who were negotiating for Story County were not negotiating for the citizens' benefit. They were negotiating for the benefit of the industrial park. So to suggest that if we don't invest $22 million of our future tax revenue, that companies like Switch, Tesla, Blockchains, Google, and the rest of the players out there simply won't continue their businesses out there, I think is short-sighted. Switch has a tremendous investment. Tesla has a tremendous investment. And they're going to continue doing business out there, whether or not we commit our future tax dollars. But I'd like to close on what Clay said. You know, when the water bill for county residents has gone up three or four times over the last decade, because of the need to improve the system. And I'm going to expect, by the way, that now that the sewer installation here in Virginia City is complete and $16 million and the $5 million improvements to Gold Hill, that we, the citizens, will be expected to absorb that burden and shoulder that weight as well. How is it the companies that can afford it and that don't live on fixed incomes should have the audacity and the temerity to come to us with their hands out, asking for us to shoulder a burden we ourselves shoulder, but they shouldn't have to because they are billion-dollar global companies. I suggest that this TIA is bad for Story County taxpayers. It's great for the citizens of the industrial park. And frankly, if the tail is going to wag the dog, it's your decision, and that decision will be part of your gentleman's lasting legacy. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Continue on. More public comment. Speak now. Okay. Staff recommendation on this, Mr. Whitten?
Staff recommends approval of the second reading of Ordinance 18-299 creating the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center Tax Increment Area pursuant to NRS 278C.
Then I'm going to look to the Vice Chairman for the recommendation for a motion to approve this item.
I believe this is a good investment for the county. If it's a legacy, I'm all for it. I'm ready to make a motion
okay.
If you want.
Yep. I'd like you to make a motion.
High Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve on second reading ordinance number 18-299, creating the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center tax increment area pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute Chapter 278C, ordering an undertaking relating to the tax increment area, creating the tax increment account for the undertaking, and ratifying action taken by the county officers toward the undertaking and the tax increment area.
Okay. I'll second your motion. Move to second. To approve the second reading of ordinance number 18-299. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. And I'm going to look over to the district attorney on the next three items that we're going to county manager's asking to continue. Should we take discussion on these items? Should we vote on them individually and take discussion on them, or should we do it as a block?
I think we should take them individually and take public comment on them.
Okay.
And then a motion to continue if that's the desire of the board.
Okay. So next up on our agenda is item number 10. This is discussion and possible action. Consideration of a possible action on resolution number 18-522, approving the cooperative agreement between the county and the TRI General Improvement District. This is was bringing into question by Ms. Bard at the podium, and so it's been staff's recommendation we continue this to December the 18th, but we'll take public comment on this right now if anyone would like to speak on it. Okay, hearing none, if I can get a motion to continue this to December the 18th.
I'll make a motion to continue item 10 to December 18th at 10 a.m. in this courtroom.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to continue this item to December the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion and possible action, consideration and possible action on resolution number 18-521, approving the reimbursement agreement among the county and all owners of the property in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center increment area. We'll open it up now if there's any public comment on this item. Hearing none, can I get a motion to continue this item to December the 18th?
I'll make a motion to continue item 11 to December 18th at 10 a.m. in this courtroom.
Second your motion. Move to second to continue this item to December the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion of possible action on resolution number 18-523. Making certain determinations regarding excess tax increment revenues distributed into the funds of the respective taxing agencies under NRS 278. Motion. Yeah. Is there any public comment on this item? Thanks. Hearing none, we can go ahead and get a motion to continue this item to December the 18th.
Sure. I'll make a motion to continue item 12 to December 18th at 10 a.m. in this courtroom.
Second your motion. Move to second to continue this item to December the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion and possible action. Adoption of the 2018 Carson River Watershed Regional Floodplain Management Plan by the Carson Water Subconservancy District, also known as CWSD.
River Watershed Floodplain Management Plan for your possible adoption. So So I'm going to provide a bit of background about the floodplain management plan, how it came about, describe this provision, and mention changes to the plan. And I will just let you know that there are links to the plan and the appendices on your board package. So after the 1997 flood, the Carson River Coalition was formed. And in 2004, there was a coalition conference, and watershed stakeholders for the Carson River watershed identified the need to reduce flood hazards by utilizing a living river approach. And at that time, the focus was on the Carson River. And the ultimate outcome is to increase safety in the most cost-effective manner. And so since that time, the focus has been on protecting the natural floodplain function and values in the Carson River watershed, because preserving the floodplain is the least expensive and most effective way to protect communities during flood. And I'm sure that you know, being on the Truckee River, that when there are big floods in the Reno Sports corridor of that river, they spend a lot of money, and they are looking to spend upwards of $500 million to protect their communities along the Truckee River when it floods. And so within the Carson River watershed, having those open floodplains, saves communities a lot of money. So the next step was that CWSD partnered with FEMA in what's called the Cooperation Technical Partners Program. So since 2010, CWSD has received funding to assist the county to fund studies and other projects, such as the Dayton Valley Area Drainage Master Plan that Story County is participating in, flood awareness, and the like. And so what the CTP program has done since that time, it has allowed the county and CWSD to be in the driver's seat of FEMA studies and projects. And so, in the past, FEMA would drive their studies by hiring a contractor who would come out to a study. And so this new process was created that allowed the creation all the way through that study. It allows input from the county so that they can drive projects and studies rather than hearing from FEMA after the fact that they now have had the study. And so from these efforts, in 2008, the first regional floodplain management plan for the Carson River watershed was created. And it's a tool to help counties in their planning process. It's not a regulatory product. And it was created, and the updates are done through this same Carson River Coalition process. And the way that works is we have what we call the floodplain management working group, and then the bigger Carson River Coalition. It allows county staff members from the participating counties to work with CWSD to guide the documents creation. And then it also includes input from the conservation districts, cooperative extensions, state, federal agencies, nonprofits, and other agencies. And so both the 2008 and the 2013 plans were formally adopted by all five counties along the Carson River. And so the way counties benefit by adopting and implementing this plan is, first of all, it kind of identifies a roadmap to help communities be safer. And then money is saved. I love on page 9 of the study, there's a quote from the National Institute of Business Sciences, and it states that mitigation funding can save $6 in future disaster costs for every dollar spent on hazard mitigation. And so I, as a taxpayer in this watershed, I like to think of, I would rather have the money spent on mitigating floods and save that money. And then also this plan provides credits to communities in the community rating system. And so Story County is in what we call the National Flood Insurance Community Rating System. Yet Story County is Class A community, so its residents receive a 10% discount on flood insurance that the residents in special flood hazard areas are required to buy. So it saves money.
for the residents as well. And so that leads us to the 2018 flood management plan revision. So basically, the revision process is described in Appendix A, and it explains that the format, content, and appendices were completely reorganized. And then the 2013 supplemental update was included. It added, it has eight categories of strategies that list suggested actions the counties may or may not take to reduce flood hazards. And so two categories were added, alluvial fan flood hazards and stormwater flood impacts. And so there are suggested actions that now address those. Of course, a little more appropriate for the Carson River watershed side of Story County's park. And so that's it in a nutshell. If you have any questions that I ask or I can answer, we'd be happy to.
Thanks,
Harry. And after we consider adopting the 2018 Carson River floodplain management plan.
Any questions, Debbie?
Maybe Debbie Austin was. The map, the flood zone map that was generated, just I saw about a week or two ago, was that developed by this, by you?
Are you talking about the Jenkins Valley?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark Twain.
Yes. So, so CWSD received a grant from FEMA, and Lyon County and Story are participating in that, and so yes, in the Mark Twain
so,
area.
So it's a great map. It was a little hard to read just because it's so kind of, you're kind of way up in the air.
Technical, very technical.
So, but it was a good map, thank you.
Right, right.
That map has added detail and animation that was provided just to let you know what's going on down there, but if you want to take a look at that detail, it's certainly available for that, but it's not quite where it is.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any public comment regarding this item?
No.
For the record, Sam Tolville Hill, as I have described in the previous commission meetings, I did some door-to-door campaigning in Mark Twain, among other Story County communities, and besides 100% uniform opposition to the tax rate increment area that you guys just passed, the other top comment from the residents of Mark Twain was the fear of flooding and their experience in past floods, and the notion that outside of the sheriff's office with his deputies, they don't see much of Story County down there. I think that participating in this and helping the citizens of Mark Twain to alleviate their flood concerns is a great step forward. And I would suggest that the county does some outreach to these citizens down in Mark Twain, who, again, claim to not hear much from the county, and let them know that this is important to you because their concerns are important to you. I recommend adopting this. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Additional public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the record. David did a great job in her presentation, and I'm not planning on really elaborating on it, because I don't think it's necessary, but questions are certainly welcome. There has been quite a bit of community outreach in the Mark Twain community, and a lot of participation. Those folks have come and met with the engineers that are putting this project together or the study, and those folks came out in maps and wrote on the maps what their houses are and provided photographs. I imagine that you all have received comments, photographs, and other things that these folks have requested from those Mark Twain residents, so they can take that study out of the theoretical model and actually apply real-life examples in each of those parcels and look at those things. So it's been very impressive. In fact, I've probably seen more participation in the Mark Twain community in this process since the end of substation. It's been very exciting. staff fully supports this program. You folks and your team have done a great job working with us and the whole board in putting this plan together. And it's one more document that not only our company on master plan, but will contribute, like Debbie said, to improving their CRS flood rating, insurance ratings, continue these studies and programs, not only in Mark Twain, but in Virginia City and American Flood, and then ultimately we're going to start working on the other communities in the county on the Truckee River side. Thank you.
Okay, for your famous Hunter. Any questions or concerns, Insider?
I don't have.
No?
Sure.
No.
Yeah, when I was campaigning, I hit every door in Mark Twain, and I didn't get one complaint about the flooding or helping out and stuff. In fact, I got compliments that we were there with a quick response to help get their streets opened up.
And the flooding, the fire department and public works were down there for days.
Yeah, they were down there for days. So,
right.
So yeah, it was a good team effort there.
All right. With that said, Jack, if I can get a motion to approve this.
Certainly. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, County Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve adoption of the 2018 Carson Watershed Regional Floodplain Management Plan by the Carson Water Subconservation or a subconservancy district. This is the adoption of the 2018. Okay. So, there's my motion.
Okay.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved to second to approve the adoption of the 2018 Carson River Watershed Regional Floodplain Management Plan by the Carson Water Subconservancy District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Greg, Debbie, thank you for coming up today. Time up there. Okay. Moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion of possible action. 14. Jump the gun. To approve purchase of property from Virginia City Ventures Incorporated of a parcel of real property identified as lots 6, 7, and 8 of block 210, range H in Virginia City, Nevada, for the price of $41,000. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. People in the District Attorney's Office. This land is located down in the area of the fairgrounds. We use it as the fairgrounds. It's proposed that the county purchase this property along with the properties identified in the following agenda items. The properties have been appraised by Sam Ward. The values are set forth on the agenda action reports. This particular piece of property was valued by him at $41,000. And so we're asking the board to consider purchasing these lots for the price of $41,000.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Keith?
Question particularly, but I'd like to hear from Denny and some background on, it looks to me like it's about four properties that we're anticipating purchasing at this point, and maybe some background on the rationale and the uses.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Denny, good idea. Yeah. I think most of us have the background, but I don't think the audience does. So.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. I think you got some for the record. Yes, there is a bit of a story. It was about 5 years ago when we were doing an analysis and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do the following year. We didn't have an agreement in place with the current landowner. We had to find a different spot, we were told, and reached out to one of the only flat pieces of property there in Edmonton City. It was owned by some new gentleman here, and I worked out a lease agreement. With that, we did put in some infrastructure. We put in about $200,000 worth of bleachers, arena equipment, and dirt work. And what it's done for us is allowed us to fish for a little bit bigger fish, if you will, in regards to special events. And that was the idea. We're without grown. Our current areas, it's always challenging, difficult to close certain streets in town. But if we really wanted to grow, we wanted to attract different events, much like a rodeo or a place that the Grand Prix can park, a couple hundred RVs. This spring, we've landed a convention through UNR, part of our event calendar, where we're going to host the international competition for mining with UNR. We'll have over 200 college competitors will be here. We would never have been able to do that in our current situation. So those kind of things, and looking to the future, what we'll be able to offer, be able to reduce the congestion. Yes, there have been some growing pains with this, and we'll continue to work on those, traffic and parking, but we've addressed them. This has developed very nicely over the last couple of years, and the opportunity has arisen for us to purchase this where we can put in some permanent infrastructure and make some even better improvements. That's why we're here today.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. I've been on the BCTC board, and I believe they've done an incredibly strong job in growing our tourism base here. C Street certainly is dependent upon our visitorship and the count that we have. And under Denny's leadership, I think that our projects and our programs over the year have certainly prospered and blossomed. He's experimented with some things that he'll do differently, and he has some others that are returning a strong financial returns our way. And so I think there's good leadership there in the community. From the time I sat on this commission, we have struggled with where we host our events, where we host our parking, and how we put these events on. And they've moved in different places, and some better and some not as good. But I applaud what you're doing here, Denny, and I see the future of Virginia City and tourism. I'll be speaking at the RSCVA function here on Friday and in town, and they're focused on Virginia City and what we're adding to the community and to the region as a tourism draw. So I'm glad you're looking at this, and I think that it will bear good fruit for Story County and Virginia City.
You with me, Jack?
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay. Well, I was apprehensive about moving the events that far, that into town, but my concern has been alleviated because it's been a success. So, the proof's in the pudding. You know, it's everything's turned out really well since we've been there. So I think this is a good project going forward. Okay. We'll open up for a public comment on this item.
Chairman Fry, to the record, Sam Soldville Hill. While I've heard some focus on the growing pains from the merchant community, I would have to agree. I think that purchasing this land, both in this and the other the related items that follow, will be a benefit for Story County. I think that there are some concerns that I think that Mr. Gelman, the board of BCTC, and Mr. Dawson should hear, pay close attention to when they hear them from the merchants. But I think that this does open a good opportunity for future events and for folks on C Street to benefit. I think that one of the big challenges that we've got, according to the merchants who I've spoken with, is that folks, don't have an easy way to get up to C Street from the events that are there. I think that perhaps a private venture could be encouraged, or in the past, I think we've used school buses to move people from the cattle races to C Street. But having the events centered on D Street and then moving them to the further away from the center of town, I think, is the biggest issue that I've heard. But I think that moving forward, if we can take a look at those challenges and provide opportunities for solutions, I think that this is going to be a great thing moving forward. And I commend y'all for having a vision to consider this and to take the tax for our money and in this case spend it. I do have one question, and that is where is the money actually coming from? Is it coming from the BCTC budget, or is it coming from the county general funds, or someplace else?
Distributed.
You want to take a staff view? Or you want me to? Okay.
You guys are sure to get a comfortable to answer Sam's question. either we'll pay that out of the CAP projects fund, and then we are our immediate concern now, or our immediate, what we want to do is then file a lease agreement with the BCTC so they will be paying these payments. This will not be a capital lease. This will be a straight lease.
Right.
That's our recommendation.
Yeah.
And I didn't do the math. What's the total capital lease for redundant items? Is it 500, somewhere around 590?
So it's almost 600 grand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that doesn't include the improvements. So there's going to be some improvements on there. I'm talking today, this morning, I mean, permanent restrooms and other permanent facilities that will save them right now approximately $10,000 a year because they have to rent all those facility things.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got permanent stuff there, and I think that would go forward in the county project to have a fairground stick.
Final question. Mr. Dodson had indicated that the county's already invested almost $250,000 in improving this property. Is there any consideration for that investment in terms of this purchase price? In other words, are we going to be discounted that investment that we've paid to improve the property based upon the assessment or the appraisals of the current value of the property today?
I think some of those improvements are the bleachers and things like that. So
that was county property.
So that's no benefit. That's no benefit to the.
Understood. So we didn't pay money to flatten or to improve the property beyond the structure.
No.
No, I couldn't see.
No. All of that was done. The leasehold improvements that remain leasehold improvements to the current owners now that we own that. That's totally ours now.
Very good. Excellent. Great idea, fellas. Let's work on getting some sort of way to get those people to not leave the minute the events are over and to not, you know, jump in their cars and take off. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
There's been an added benefit with the train as well, bringing people. You know, the VNT Railway is working with Tom and the BCTC trying to work with getting people up on the train to go to some of those events, where the train stops right there at the main gate, pretty much. So it's they've made a few good runs, starting last year and a few this year, and they're got their feet wet, so I think there's going to be even a bigger appetite as we move along.
Okay. We'll continue on for public comment on this item. Any additional comments? Okay, hearing none, if you can go ahead and get a motion to approve the purchase of this property.
Commissioner Jack McGaffey moved to approve the agreement for the purchase of real property from Virginia City Ventures Incorporated, locating within Block 210 of Range H in Virginia City, Nevada, for the price of $41,000.
I'll second.
We move in a second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Lance.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. One of my chair. Thank you.
Now moving on to item number 15, discussion of possible action. This is to approve the purchase of property for Virginia City Holdings, LLC, of parcels of real property identified as lots 6 through 16 and the south half of lot 5, block 180, lots 3 through 17, block 181, lots 1 through 6, block 200, and lots 1 through 6, block 201, all within range H, Virginia City, Nevada, and bearing assessor parcel number 001-135-07 and 001-136-01, 001-173-01, and 001-176-01. The property for the price of $445,000. And this is continuing. All of these properties are continuous down there. So, Mr. Loomis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is another chunk of property that's being used for the fairgrounds, and the purpose is to acquire and continue use for the fairgrounds. It has been appraised by Mr. Ward at $445,000. You'll note that under paragraph 9 or section 9 under access, there's a provision for access across parts of the real property.
All righty. So with that, we'll open this item up for public comment. Mr. Mitchell.
Clay Mitchell, Virginia City resident. I just had a quick question. You'll have to excuse my not having the agenda packet due for Wi-Fi coverage here. Are these parcels, and I guess this is specifically on this item, but the others as well. I'm just curious about the zoning. I thought that this area was zoned heavy industrial, and I'm wondering if that's going to change, if it has already changed, and could we just get some clarification from the planning
department? Look at our senior planner here for that. Our planning director.
Austin, the properties have some facility, but predominantly industrial down in that area. There's no applications in at this point to change that zoning. There was one parcel that there was an application that was withdrawn. So everything would stay the same. The area in the master plan, if I remember right, does provide for downzoning in that area for somebody, such as the new owners or the present owners, wanted to downzone into commercial or commercial residential or something like that, that could be considered.
Okay. Is the proposed use, is that appropriate use for industrial, or going forward would it be more appropriate to downzone it for a fairground set of use?
There is mixed uses occurring down in that area, so we have to look at each of those individually, and we could do that.
Okay.
Great, thank you. And my main reason for asking the question is that we have very few, as I understand it, industrial zone properties in this part of the county. And I'm not opposed to using it as a fairground. I think that's a great use for it. But I think in the broader context, it's probably worth just keeping in mind that if we download or take away a substantial portion of our industrial property here in town, does that have a negative impact in the future, potentially?
Your wife speaking with the master plan says, we recognize that there's industrial zoning in places of the county that really were historically industrial. We weren't necessarily set up that way for any economic development purpose. That's master plan. And I'm talking a little bit here about reading that section this time, but it does talk about it being appropriate to potential change of zoning of a lot of these industrial properties in the city of Gold Hill, but because they're really historical, that could carry over. We don't want to change the zoning of people's properties without their consent, but it would not be necessarily a negative impact for the community to do so. In fact, the master plan seems to be a positive impact to do so to create more compatible uses, including those that have economic development potential, such as commercial.
Okay. Thanks, Austin. Okay. Additional public comment? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve this item.
Okay. As recommended by staff, Commissioner Jack McGuffey moved to approve the agreement for purchase of the property from Virginia City Holdings, LLC, for the price of $445,000.
Okay. I'll second your motion.
And moved to second to approve this item. Purchase the property for $445,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 16, discussion of possible action to approve purchase a property of Richard Correll, parcels of real property identified as all lots, as all of lots 2, 3, 4, and 5 in block 210, range H. Of Virginia City, Nevada, the property for the price of $83,333 and the conveyance of Block 6, Block 210, Range H of Virginia City, Nevada. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a little bit more complicated, but again, these lots are lots that are in the area of the fairgrounds. They've actually been appraised at the value of $97,000. We're going to, what he has requested, this is Mr. Correll, has requested that we trade him lot 6, which was acquired under agenda item 14, which were essentially three equal lots, all valued at $45,000. What we did was we took they're very similar lots. We took one-third of the value of the appraised value of that lot, and we deducted it from the appraised value of the lots they're acquiring here, and then we'll give them submitted to you as an alternate agreement. If you see the one in the agenda package has the kitchen show one and Mr. Correll outline itself on a separate piece of paper, which is not particularly effective related to an agreement together. So the revised agreement has his signature accompanying a portion of the contract, but also has it's identified as page 5 or 6 to make sure that the signature is consistent with the agreement. The agreement also has an additional paragraph authorizing Mr. Well to sign through a facsimile signature because he's currently in Mexico, as I understand it. We have sent it to him. He's reportedly assigned it in the revised agreement and it's supposed to be on the frame.
All right. Any questions?
Okay. Questions? All right. Open up for public comment. Hearing none, can we get a motion to approve?
I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve the agreement for the purchase of the property from Richard Correll for the price of $83,330 and the conveyance of Lot 6, Block 210, Range H, Virginia City, Nevada.
Second motion.
Okay, I'm moving a second to approve item 16 for the price of $83,333. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 17, which is discussion on possible action to approve the purchase of property from Mark Charlton of parcels of real property identified as all of Lot 1 in Block 210, Range H of Virginia City, Nevada. The property for the price of $21,000 and $2,000 for a metal shed located on the property. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is the fourth piece of property that the county is proposing to acquire for the use of the fairgrounds. It has also been appraised by Mr. Ward to have a value of $21,000. There is a metal shed with a foundation on the property, which Mr. Charlton, in case we have a tough time moving off the property, asked if the county is interested in purchasing it. We did discuss, negotiate that with Mr. Dawson. They negotiated a price of $2,000 for the metal shed, which is well below the level of requirement that the lot could be for purpose.
Okay. Once again, all of them. Yep, what's that? Okay. I don't have any questions on this. We'll open up for public comment. Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Thompson, Project Manager of Calgary Industrial Center. I just want to compliment the board for these items. It looks by the count of it, this is somewhere around $600,000 of investment in the in fairgrounds properties that are these in total right, all four.
Yes.
So I think that's a great economic development expenditure by this commission to support the businesses on C3, and that along with the tax that are going in to fund the Economic Development Agency on C3 for Virginia City, which is the VCDC, I think it's a great support to these small businesses. Small businesses are just as important as the big ones. And if, Mr. Chairman, a quick glance at the as the business licenses here on today's agenda is a good example. About 20 for the first reading, about 20 for the second reading. A large portion of those are small business. But this expenditure and the prior ones, as well as the BCTC, tax money going there, goes to support those small businesses, and we support that economic development.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All right. Additional public comment? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve the agreement for the purchase of property from Mark Charlton for the price of $21,000 and for the purchase of a metal shed located on the property for an additional $2,000.
I'll second that motion.
All right, we're moving to second. approve the purchase of this property for $21,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Aye.
Quick break.
Yeah. We've been going 2 hours straight, so why don't we go ahead and take about a 10-minute break, okay?